Hi, this is Mortain rambling about books. So today I'm going to give you a couple of reviews from the archives again, and then I'll talk about a book that I recently read. Ooh, something I didn't read 2 years ago. I know. So my first review is for Aragon by Christopher Paolini. Now this is the first book in a series that he's writing, and he wrote this book when he was a teenager. Synopsis. Aragon is a boy with a destiny. Illegitimate, abandoned by his mother when he was days old, he grows up in his stern uncle's house until the day he is out hunting for food and discovers a jeweled stone. His attempts to sell the stone are unsuccessful, and one night it hatches into a beautiful dragon named Safina. The adventures and education of Aragon and Safina from that point on are many and dangerous. The novel was written when Christopher Paolini was a teenager, but it's a good fantasy read for anyone and is no more a young adult novel than Fellowship of the Ring. Opinion. The good. Vocabulary. Paolini has a deft touch with words and an impressive vocabulary for anyone, not just a teenager. I found his voice and language to be rich, evocative, without treading into the territory of the overblown. The bad. It is possible to write your first fantasy novel without using every known cliché, but I don't know anyone who has. Aragon has them all: the teenaged orphan of unknown parentage. They might even still be alive. They could be the king themselves. Hero who is good at everything, the proud dragon, the wizened old teacher who has a dark secret, the beautiful soulmate, love interest who needs to be rescued, etc., etc., etc. The info dumps, the obligatory description of flying on dragon back, the figuring out science without having the theory or technology needed, the magic sword, and so on. There's even the classic travel across a barren wilderness passages, so reminiscent of Lord of the Rings. Paolini wrote Aragon when he was a teenager. I think when he's 30, he will be suitably embarrassed by it. The ugly. It's a minor thing, but I'd better mention it. There's a plot device in the novel, a substance that dissolves anything organic without affecting the inorganic. It can be stored in glass and metal, but dissolve a man right out of his armor. Because it's so insidious, a careful man can put it on a sword and destroy his opponent with merely a scratch. In the same passage where this substance is described, and they put it on a sword, and the put it on a sword feature mentioned, it is also mentioned that it can be put on a club of wood. I'm trying to figure out how wood is inorganic. If anyone else can figure this out, let me know, okay? My grade, B, strong recommendation, well written, with some flaws or predictability that makes it less fun to read. I should mention I listened to this as an audiobook, which may have affected my enjoyability of it. I think in many ways some of the flaws that you notice more when you're reading in text are less obvious when you are listening to a book, which brings me to my next book, which is The Memory of Running. This is an audiobook read by Ron McClarty, written by Ron McClarty. He is an audiobook narrator by profession, and what's great about this is it's only available as an audiobook, so some of the repetition you don't necessarily notice until later, until you think about it. Synopsis of The Memory of Running. Smithson Ide is a once skinny, now fat, lazy, depressed man whose key word in life seems to be stupid, because he certainly says it about himself often enough. His sister Bethany is mentally ill, and the novel flashes back and forward in time to his childhood and adolescence and the present day. During his internal journey, he also travels across the country on a bicycle. This is a wonderful story about a fat man on a quest. It's a kind of Don Quixote searching for answers about his mentally ill sister, his family, and his life. A note about presentation. Ron McClarty, as I mentioned, is a long-time audiobook reader. He is reading his own work here, and it's only available as an audiobook. Opinion. The good. Transformation. I started listening to this as a fat woman in the process of transforming myself. Smithson isn't out riding a bicycle for his health, or to burn calories, or gain activity points on Weight Watchers. He's out there to tilt against his own windmills, and there are important windmills in this story. He's out there to figure stuff out and to save his Dulcinea, who in this case is actually his sister, not a would-be lover. He's out there, and his poncho is a woman in a wheelchair who loves him and who he has neglected for over 15 years. The parallels to Quixote are tremendous, but the story is more than the impossible dream. It's a story about moving through and forward and around. It's a story about changing yourself from the very deepest part of inside on out. The bad. The narrator, Smithy, seems almost autistic in his words and actions. He compulsively pursues this one goal until he reaches it. Frequently, his answer to an emotional breakthrough or revelation from someone around him is to stupidly say, "Okay." It's not that I have a problem with an autistic point of view. However, I need to know by the end of the novel if that is the point of view I'm reading. And since Bethany is so strange, having Smithy be even stranger kind of alters the focus for me. The ugly. I don't know that there's much to be considered ugly in this book. The only room for improvement is that I personally wouldn't mind reading a paper copy so I know how to spell names and remember the novel a little bit better. Grade A-, highly recommended, well-written, or such great ideas you can't resist. And the third one that I want to give you a review of is The Secret by Monk Kidd. I actually read this one in paper, yes. I do actually read books on occasion. It's not all audiobooks. Synopsis. Lily Owen is a 14-year-old white girl with a black nanny in the South during the 1960s. Her mother, Deborah, died when Lily was a little girl, and she's grown up with only her nanny, Rosaline, as her feminine role model. When Rosaline gets into trouble while trying to register to vote, Lily helps her escape, and the two of them flee to South Carolina. There they encounter the beekeeping sisters, May, June, and August, who nurture and harbor Lily and Rosaline in a house saturated in honey and feminine power. Opinion. The good. I found this novel charming. I was concerned that it would be yet another in the vein of Bastard Out of Carolina, of a girl being mercilessly abused and raped by her cruel father figure, but I was actually pleasantly surprised to find that Lily and her father's relationship was more complex than protagonist-antagonist, and the writing style was just very charming. The bad. There's something that troubles me about this novel, and I'm not quite sure what it is. Perhaps it's that the protagonist doesn't really learn, except in the standard coming-of-age kinds of ways. Or maybe it's just the trio of black Madonnas, the quartet, if you add Rosaline, are so archetypal, it's hard to grasp them as real people. The ugly. The ending. It doesn't fit the tone of the rest of the book. I've had this happen before, where the ending that I just desperately to give a particular ending to my characters, but it didn't fit. It took me 5 years in one case to come to terms with it, and changing to the right ending was extremely painful, but it made the story much more real. Kidd, I feel, has done her readers a slight disservice with the ending. However, I'm the kind of reader who can overlook just about everything in the last 10 pages of any novel if the rest of it was good, so I don't allow it to massively impact my opinion. Grade B. Strong recommendation, well written, with some flaws or predictability that makes it less fun to read. And something I've been reading lately, a little more current stuff. I recently read a nonfiction book called The Punch, Einstein. This is the history of an infamous basketball fight in 1977 between Rudy Tomjanovich and Curtis Washington. It kind of changed the nature of the NBA and these two men's lives. I'm not a big basketball fan. I'm not a big sports fan in general. I don't watch a lot of sports, but I really enjoy when a author or a commenter takes the time to really tell you the story. It's not very common where you get to learn the story behind a game or the story of a particular moment. And it's fascinating because these are actual stories. There is actual history going on here. In many ways, it's not super important. Sports is one of those great ways where we can have conflict without it having a global impact or a really big impact at all. And yet, when it does have a big impact, like The Punch or The Play or the Heidi game, it's nice to know the story behind it. It's nice to learn it. And I really liked the way John Feinstein did that. Another person in the sports media who does that really well is John Madden, of course. And if you never get the chance to listen to Madden speak about any sport, I mean, he can just go on about everything, even golf, which he claims not to get. it's really fascinating. It's neat to listen to him, and he's a good teacher. And Feinstein does the same thing in The Punch. He's a very good teacher. The only thing I would say is that it's a little repetitive. I was listening to the audiobook again, and I ended up skipping to the second file on my iPod. Accidentally, I switched to the second file, and I kind of didn't notice because Feinstein repeated the story enough times where I just didn't really even notice that, oh yeah, he already said that. So I ended up going back and listening to the middle after I had finished the book. It's just sort of weird and an interesting way to listen to an audiobook. I recommend that if you ever have the opportunity to do that, you try it at least once just so you say, oh, maybe I don't have to read a book from beginning to middle and end. Anyway, that's Book Ramblings with Mortain. I hope you've enjoyed this installment. We went a little bit long on time, so have a good day. It's the middle of summer, big heat wave going on, at least out here, and a good time to crack open a book and lay around in some air conditioning or on a beach.